Hey everyone, well, welcome to another episode of the podcast. I guess it's episode 14. I have Grub Gun with me, co-hosting as per usual now. And yeah, I mean, how were your holidays? It's the end of another decade as well, so.
Yeah, it was pretty low-key here. Christmas is not really a huge holiday for me and the family. It's just kind of like hanging around and there's a gift exchange, but it's usually just an envelope with money in it or something because nobody needs anything anymore. So it was all right. Not that bad. I cooked Christmas dinner, so that was my big adventure for the holidays and my contribution. But other than that, not much happened.
Yeah, I know, it was slow and it was fun. Like, mom always spoils us, even though we're like old now, and you know, it's ridiculous. But I mean, they make their dinner, but it's just not a big family get together, which is nice in some ways, but it's just like, I don't know. I mean, it's special, but you know, it's just how it is. And but yeah, the food was all right. And I think it just went by this Christmas for me. I wasn't really into it this year, just not feeling 100% and, like, you know, just other issues. It's like, just wasn't into it as much. But I was surprised to see a decade go by, like 2020, like the end of the early 2000s and the end of the teens. I feel like the first 20 years of the 2000s, I can like close a book on, you know, end a chapter in my life, maybe, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, the last 20 years, you know, I haven't really accomplished too much of note, except, you know, not being the best person I could possibly be. So, I mean, bring on 2020 and the future, because that's probably where all the best stuff lies now at this point.
Yeah, no, I feel like for me, it's like I accomplished a lot. I feel like in the early 2000s, I feel like I did a lot. Like in the, you know, 2010, 2008, you know, I got that Smallville job, was working like on union sets, trying to see what that was like. And, you know, and then, I transitioned in 2013. So, it, you know, became my real self on the outside or whatever. Make the outside match the inside and the inside match the outside. So, but you know, so I feel like I went through a lot. It just was still pretty tragic. Like, there's happy moments, but it's still like, you know, lose the love of your life type of stuff. Lose one of your best friends. There's a lot of loss though in the last like 5 to 7 years. So.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, like, you know, I'm, there's a lot of that, but you know, don't get me started on that kind of stuff, because
no, loss, no, it, for sure. Know, yeah. I'm not I just expressing myself. No, yeah, but, for sure. Yeah, no, not yours, but I just mean like personally. Like, I'm just a very dramatic person, I guess. I try not to be with, but you know, I don't know. I should have been Italian or something, because I always like the theatrics and the stuff like that, you know. But like I said, for me, it's just like, I'm one of those people that hold on to a lot of that stuff. So for me, it's like, it feels like, you know, 2020, it's a totally new time. Like, you know, it's the 20s again, 1920, basically.
Yeah.
People in 2090 are going to be like, look at those fools. Cause I sure was doing that in the 90s. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But, I'm just excited to, you know, feel better, work on my health. You know, I had a health scare. You went to the hospital. I went to the hospital, you know, for sugar levels and other issues. And, you know, I'm still challenging with my health as usual. I hope to kind of figure out what's happening fully in the new year, you know?
Yeah, hopefully all that hospital stuff is in the past now, and, you know, we can, like, you know, accept what the answers that they gave us and move on and fix stuff so that we just don't have to worry about it anymore and concentrate on better things.
Yeah, more positive and fun and creative, you know?
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I just want to create more in many ways and just enjoy life, you know? Collect. I like to collect. I like to enjoy things. I like to, you know, go around collecting, enjoying coffee, and like just having a, like, you know, I don't drink, like, you know, I'm pretty healthy otherwise, so it's I'm pretty clear in the mind, mental health wise. I'm doing pretty strong. I feel like I'm doing a lot better than I have, so that helps. But just got to get the energy levels and all that, you know.
Yeah, onward and upward for the new decade. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, for sure. Bring on the decade. Like, I miss, like, it was like, yeah, I was talking to you last night, and like, I was like, why are people screaming right now? Like, I was like an old idiot. And then I realized, oh, yeah, it was 5 minutes after 12. I just missed a decade. Yeah.
That just shows how blasé you've become when you can actually just blank the new year. Like, just, oh, yeah, I forgot it was December 31st. Oh, okay. Well, whatever.
Yeah, next decade. Like,
yeah. That's the thing now.
Yeah, no, it was interesting. But yeah, like I said, I'm you know, with you two doing the podcast together is fun and helped me too. Like, creatively, it's fun to have someone to go back and forth with them, bring something new to the channel. And like, they're all getting 100 views instantly now. So, I mean, that's pretty decent.
Well, I don't know whether I'm responsible for that or not, but it's thanks for having me here, at least.
I
mean,
what were you saying?
It gives me something to actually look forward to creatively as well, because I was basically stagnating in a pool of, like, I had no drive to produce any YouTube videos at all, and anything I did do, it was basically for me. I didn't really care if anybody watched, so it's nice to be a part of something that actually, like, I don't know, has creativity to it, you know, where I have to actually think of things instead of just turning the camera on and, you know, just free-forming words for 20 minutes that no one watches, so...
No, yeah, I get it. Yeah, it's helped me too. And like, I always wanted to do a podcast. I always wanted to bring someone on, but I wasn't sure who or when or what would happen. But after we met and like how much we vibed, and like I said, people are saying like we got, like, you know, good chemistry on the mic together, you know. And I've seen people like my stuff, like I've seen people, new people in the comments and subscribing and stuff. So it's like, okay, those people are bringing, I feel like, you know, bringing each other's communities together, and they're pretty good to go, I think, for the most part.
Yeah,
the hardcores.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm excited. Like, it's just fun to be able to just be creative and, you know, like, just talk about stuff and have another opinion, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, it's great to, like, have new, like, ideas presented to me instead of just the old. I was stuck in a rut. And now I feel like I'm, you know, out of the rut, and, you know, 2020 and, like, all of that stuff moving forward. And I just feel like, you know, there's just so much to do, and I'm just kind of like, I'm not overwhelmed, but like, I'm spoiled for choice of my ideas at this point. So it's, this has been a good thing.
Yeah, no, for sure. I always feel like my brain is always flowing with ideas. Like, I always mention that Fountainhead book and all that. Like, it's just like the flow, creative flow is there. But sometimes I just work better with when I'm working with another person. Like, the more of my like, something shines, and I help, like, I feel like the other people, and you know, inspire me, and I try to inspire other people, you know, and just kind of go from there. But yeah, I just feel like sometimes that's what I was missing, like, just someone to bounce some ideas with and, you know, kind of just talk the whatever, you know?
yeah, for sure. No, it's great.
And yeah, I'm already listening to the podcast, you know, you bring more, like, articulation to the podcast. So it's like, you know what I mean?
Sure, yeah. That's
no, I find you do. So I'm like, I like that, because I was like, I miss people that like can speak properly and like not be like, you know, born in the white hood or whatever, like I was. it brings a lot to two different sides. And I also enjoy too, like knowing that I'm so like living in the past. Like, when I think the old Halo graphics are better, I think that, you know, other things too I've mentioned. Yeah, like I said, it's just cool to have another person's opinion on, like, you know, if you're stuck with nostalgia glasses or whatever, right? It's just cool to see someone else point some things out, like, no, you're like totally like stuck in the past.
Well, I'm not saying that.
No, but, you know, yeah.
I understand you looking at those graphics and saying that's basically represents my youth, but, you know.
Yeah, it represents my sanity. Like, I'm just
like... Great.
Yeah, I know. That's how I see the world. But, but yeah, no, it's cool. Cool. And yeah, lots of things to talk about this week. We're going to get into some Transformers stuff, some figures and stuff that's coming out. Also talk about The Mandalorian and yeah, the new Xbox, I guess. Hey, that'd be pretty cool, the cover.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, the Transformers news, I like to bring up, some of that stuff I haven't been able to talk about as much as I'd like to lately. But, the Cyberverse line, that's the line of figures I collect, actually all sealed. I haven't opened any of them, but it's the Transformers Cyberverse Quintessons were revealed at U.S. retailers. So it does come with a Shockwave and a Prowl figure that was released before, except now they have that new brain control gimmick on their head. And it seems like, you know, the new Quintesson is the newest part of the series. The figure.
Yeah.
About it.
I am really looking forward to finding these in the store. Like, mm-hmm. That Quintesson looks absolutely amazing. Like, I've wanted one ever since I saw the movie, and, you know, and that was when? In the 80s? So.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
official Quintesson, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how I'm going to control myself to not pull that out of the package and just. Like have it in my hand and be like, this is the best moment. Like I've been waiting for this for, you know, 40 years kind of thing.
Oh yeah. No, I feel like, like I almost would buy two, even though that'd be so stupid. Cause I already have this other figures bought, but just to have one Quintesson out, but we'll see. This stuff has gone on clearance too. Like in the future, I noticed at Toys R Us and Walmart. So like, you know, if this dropped, like I don't even know what they're asking, 29 American, I think. So it'd be like 39 Canadian. So if it dropped down to like $15 or something, I'd get another one.
Oh, easily. I would easily do that.
Yeah, because there's three. There's lots. Of, you know, even in the movie, there's a couple Quintessons. I'd be kind of cool to have, but.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, the Shockwave in the Quintesson set isn't like that cornball looking. You know, the Prowl I could do without, but the Shockwave's not that bad. So I'm, you know, I don't mind having him out on the shelf as well if I had two of them, right?
Oh, yeah, that Shockwave, I have that. I don't mind, actually, Cyberverse. It's not completely, like, the build quality is lower, and it's not, that's not the only reason. It just, like, I just have too much stuff, and I just, like to see sealed collected for some reason. I'm just,
right.
Like, stay in there, right? But I think they look good, and I don't think a lot of people are probably collecting this sealed. Not that that matters, but it's just, I go into the store, I mean, I can find these guys. I'm not, like, stressing, you know, they're there. They're not too expensive usually either, so.
Yeah. And what did you say they were? Are they an exclusive or are they?
It just said it was found at Target, but all Target exclusives that have been out so far, we've gotten in Canada at Toys R Us.
Okay. Yeah. Like, I just, having to go to Toys R Us is just, it's just a pain. But, like, I, you know, looking for this kind of stuff is exciting. So, you know, I'll make the trip. If you see it, I'll go start looking for it. That's how it works.
Yeah, so. Do that first. And then if you can't, we can figure out something because I'll be able to find them because I got my inside guy at the Toys R Us. So.
Yeah, no, I'm really stoked for this. This is the kind of thing that I like.
Oh, yeah, no, they look good. Like, the Prowl, like I said, I have that. It's whatever. The Shockwave is great. I think it's a pretty good Shockwave for, you know, a little bit better than a McDonald's toy.
Right. Well, that's the thing. I mean, it's a little cartoony looking, but, you know, I kind of like that in a way. If it's just going to stand there, that's, you know, the color's really vibrant and it looks good. It looks good. It doesn't look, you know, too, you know, weird shaped or anything. They didn't kind of like, you know, anime it up or whatever. It looks really good.
Yeah, I know. And it's cool how the Quintesson has that spinning head action, like in the show when they'd laugh. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah, no, I like the box art too. Like the back is pretty good. The Quintesson's just all black. It's a different style than the show because they're more like gray bodied or whatever.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
Just even the front though, like the art on the front with that Quintesson head.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the two guys is pretty sweet.
Yeah, you know, take my money basically is what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, it's great. I love how the person in the picture is purple, like their sleeve is purple or whatever.
yeah.
Just to match it, Decepticon all the way or whatever, right?
But, right.
Yeah, this pack looks interesting. We'll talk about the Sharkticon pack next. But yeah, any kind of, you know, thoughts on this at all anymore? Or?
Well, I mean, just like it took them forever to put this like the Quintesson figure out. Like I said, I've been waiting my whole life to have something like this. So, I mean, I've looked on eBay. There are like Chinese knockoff versions of this, which, you know, that's kind of my thing now. But like, they're not that great. Like this looks so like official. Like all the unofficial ones are just the wrong scale or they just look crummy. But this is the kind of thing where it's like the build quality looks good and it looks sitting on the shelf, you know that it's like an official product. So it's I can't wait to get this in my greasy hands.
Yeah, how would you feel about a Quintesson plush?
yeah, that would be great.
Right? All its tentacles on you, be like, yay!
Yeah, no, that would be good. Yeah, life size would be even better.
Oh, yeah, no, so even like huge or whatever, like that Snorlax I have or whatever.
Right,
like,
yeah.
You can see in the background in some of my pictures.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I have lots of room in my living mm-hmm. position that I'm in now. So, I mean, having something that's as big as me taking up that much room would be just awesome.
Son, splash would be great. But yeah, no, I'm happy with this. Like, I like how we'll be able to find these. And yeah, they're just something to look forward to for sure. I guess they're already out in, like I said, in Target in America somewhere. So it'll mm-hmm. be soon. It'll be anytime now.
Good.
So, yeah, happy hunting. Well, the other Transformers Cyberverse figures I want to talk about was the Battle for Cybertron Shark Decon's attack set out now at U.S. retailers. Again, I think found at a Target. So yeah, look at this picture. It's from a TF W2005. But they didn't take the picture of the back of the box or anything, hey?
Yeah, no, it's kind of a lazy photo, but it's still, I mean, if you like that kind of thing, I mean, this is gonna pique your interest just seeing this box. Like, mm-hmm. this is another one where, you know, you get the Quintesson in the other box, you get the Sharktacons in this box. It makes you buy both because, you know, totally. You need to have these things standing side by side, and it looks pretty good. I'm pretty happy with that. Again, the box art, the tab in the back, it's really kind of cool. It makes, like, my wallet would come out so fast to buy this. I wouldn't even look at the price. I'm just, this is exactly the kind of thing I want.
Yeah, and it also comes with Fusion Flame Stealth Force Hot Rod, which I actually, you don't like as much, but I don't mind, actually, that a black hot rod for some reason. I'm not... I don't like Rodimus Prime much at all. Like I just didn't like him as a leader of the Autobots. But I didn't mind Hot Rod when he was just like with the kid Daniel and stuff.
Yeah, well,
he was okay. He was whatever.
It's included in the box, so yeah. I'll take it. So,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, it's worse. It's better than the Prowl figure, I think.
Oh, definitely.
Mm-hmm. It's a little cooler.
It's the only way I'm going to get a Hot Rod figure. This is it.
Hot Rod.
Yeah.
I always wanted a man dressed in black. But yeah, he looks really nice. And then, yeah, the Sharktacons, I mean, I also like that single Sharktacon, Gnaw or whatever. I have that one as well. That's really nice, too. Did you ever check that one out?
Okay. I have. I've looked at it. I'd like to get it. Either Chinese knockoff three-pack that I want to buy of Sharktacons that are the mold looks exactly the same, but the plastic is kind of like they're different. They're all different, so there's three different ones. Mm-hmm. And I mean, these ones in the little Cyberverse box, they look just like a miniature version of the Gnaw figure. Like,
totally.
It's like they just scaled it down by a third and re-released it because. They look exactly the same, so it's not like you're getting some kind of a budget level Sharktacon on this. You're just getting a miniature one, which is kind of cool, like that. But that Gnaw one, sure, if I see it for $10, I'll buy that in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's totally. Yeah, I think it's like 18 or something Canadian right now. But if that goes down, totally worth picking up.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not like the Sharktacons are like, you know, a huge part of the Transformers or anything, but you know, they're still cool, right? You put
yeah, yeah.
You, Yeah, I mean,
you have a special place in Transformer history just because of that 1986 movie, for sure. But
yeah. It's, you know, it's not like there's a lot of, you know, there's no spin-off about the Sharktacons or anything.
No.
I don't even know if they say anything, really. But
they do talk when they're in their robot mode, but in their shark mode, they just go, ah.
Yeah, well, you know, they contributed to the part of my memory of that movie is the Sharktacons and, you know, the Quintesson. So, I mean, like, this is a great set. Again, like, they know exactly what to release for the target audience that wants this kind of thing. Like me, I wouldn't hesitate to buy this.
No, for sure. Yeah. Me, Grimlock, say execute them. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
they look the part. I'm stoked on the black Rodimus or Hot Rod or whatever. And the art of him looks really cool up top with the Sharktacons too. Mm-hmm. They look cool too. Yeah. Like you're saying. Yeah. And this one says $19 American. So, I mean, it's going to be what, like 30 Canadian?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Yeah.
Which kind of is whatever, but
yeah, well, we have to accept the fact that, you know, paying more for, you know, something is what happens, you know. Mm-hmm. I happily do that.
Oh yeah, it's enough to, like, that figure alone is worth more, like, and like it's not the worst price. Like, if it's $19 in America, then that I wish I was paying $19, but that's,
well,
awesome.
Yeah, but you'd have to live in America. So
yeah, I like that Canadian $10 tax.
yeah, no kidding. I just wish I could see the back of this box.
I know.
Seeing the Rodimus transformation, like, to see what it looks like in the whatever mode, the other mode, then it would be nice. But unfortunately, all we get is this crummy photo that this guy took. So I'll have to wait till I get it, I guess.
Yeah, I'm just surprised that this photo, like, they didn't take the picture of the back. Like, I don't get it.
I know. Bush League.
Yeah, it's weird. But yeah, no, I'm stoked on these two Cyberverse packs for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hard pressed to open them. That's the problem. It's one of those things where it's like it looks so good in the package, and mm-hmm. like opening them, it you know, I don't know what their scale is like to a normal Transformer. So, like, are they really tiny? Would it look silly on the shelf next to regular size ones?
I think so, because that guy's just like a little bit like deluxe or whatever class or Voyager class the Hot Rod, I think.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, like, this is one of those situations where buying two might be, you know, might be in my future. So, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this looks too beautiful not to keep sealed, but yeah, I would like to play with them as well.
Oh yeah, no kidding. I mean, that's the problem with these things, is leaving them in their box. You just, all you want to do is open them. The kid in you wants to rip into that thing and get these things in your hand so that you can, you know.
So you can lose them.
Yeah, no, exactly. But,
yeah, no, I know. It's like, it's a tough call, but like I said, I have committed myself to not opening the Cyberverse stuff right now. So, but I just, yeah. If I might have, like, I want to open, I want to play that Prime, or that Prime, I keep saying, that Hot Rod as well. Looks pretty good, but.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, it's all I can do to not open that Cyclonus set that I got. Like, I have to hide it on myself so that I don't look at it, because it is just too, I don't know how I haven't opened it yet. Mm-hmm. So this is the thing, like, opening a Transformer and, like, going through its transformation and, like, just standing it on the shelf, like, because, like, I like taking pictures of my figures, so
mm-hmm.
this in a box is no good to me whatsoever, because...
Yeah, no, most Transformers I love to take out, but it's just this series, it's just almost a little too kiddie for me, so I don't have as much urge to just leave it in the...
Mm-hmm.
package. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, my new stuff, my better stuff that I still do have sealed, I want to open it, like, because it's just too cool, right?
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, it's the constant battle of that.
Yeah, the grown-up fighting the, you know, the collector fighting the child who wants to go and have them walk around on the desk. As you're
talking. Oh, yeah. No, I got my Sound Blaster in my hand now. I'm just looking at them, and it's just, it's so fun to, like, transform them or just look at them and hold them. And, like, a transformer that isn't transformed, like, I think there is something to say about that, but...
Yeah, yeah. It's meant to do it, and you kind of have to make it go through its little transformation just at least once so that you know... You know that it can be done, so you can see it in both forms. You know, seeing it in the package, blister packed, and like not fulfilling its destiny. It's kind of, you know, it's kind of sad in a way. So you know,
totally. No, I get it. Like I said, the other ones, if they weren't so junky, I wouldn't. I would probably open them, but I'm just like, whatever. Just keep it sealed.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, no, there's some I want to open. Like, I think I have two of the sound waves that came out because I was planning to open one, but I just haven't had time. And I'm like, and I just got both sealed. I'm like, what am I doing?
Oh, Danny.
What am I doing?
But, what are you like?
Yeah, I know. Strange animal, but yeah, that's good for the Cyberverse stuff. It was cool. We can't wait to get on it. I'm sure we'll each be opening it or showing it on camera or something in reviews as well, so look forward to that. Hey,
definitely.
Well, a lot of people have asked me about this actually on Instagram. One person was asking me, like, weekly, have you heard any news on the Astro Train reissue G1 for Walmart? So that, yeah, I got the Soundwave, I got the Optimus, I got the Devastator, the Mini Robots, and some other guys. I really like these G1 reissues because this actually, this is Astro Train. This reissue, like, if you got this G1 sealed in this type of condition, it'd be over $1,000. So... on eBay, so it'd be like $1,000 plus. So this is a good way to get one, even if it does cost $89. It says $50 American, so like this might not be it as much. This might be a $65 guy Canadian.
Yeah, that's totally worth it for me. Reissue Astro Train. I mean, I wanted him when I was a kid, and I never had him. And this, getting this is another one where it's like, you know, fortunately, I can afford it, and I will be buying it when I see it. So this is, it looks awesome as well. Like, that, the packaging, I love that
old the packaging.
School packaging is just, it speaks to me as a, you know, as a child of the 70s and 80s, it
totally
really speaks to me.
Yeah, the thing I am disappointed with as other people are, I wish they kind of, like, on the packaging, he kind of has more of the animation colors, so, like, he's a little more white on this figure, and, like, in the show, he's, like, a dark gray and all that, and so I kind of wish they would have done, because we've got the, this is a slightly different, different graphics, apparently, too, I read, from the G1 one, but it is very similar in color, but I kind of wish they did the animation colors with the, like, darker grays and the purple and stuff, but
yeah,
that's being picky, but this is the way they're doing it, because they're going, like, toy release style, right? They're not doing TV show.
Yeah, I mean, they want, you know, having it, the colors, for me, it's like, I don't even, like, taking it out of the package, like, I don't like how the old Transformers look. That's the thing, especially in robot form. They're just...
Oh, wow. I love them in robot form.
It's you know, because I just, I like the new ones because of the articulation, and the old ones, their articulation is so minimal. So it's basically me being upset because when I take pictures of it, when it's out of the box, it just looks like, you know, some crummy, you know, budget robot that doesn't move. So, you know, the colors, I just want it, like, that's the thing. Like,
yeah, you're gonna keep your sealed then, or
well, this is the thing, it's another case where I don't know if I could keep it sealed. I might pull it out of the box and make it go through its motions and take the pictures and then slide it back
in. Just put it back in. I know, for me it's like, maybe I'd want two, but that's excessive. But it's just like I said the Halo 1 stuff, I love the blocky look. It takes me back to a simpler time, and it just takes me back to, like, I thought they were so intricate when I was a kid, these toys.
Oh 100%. Like, I was, when I was a kid, and I had I had Optimus, and I had, you know, Megatron and Starscream, but I kept them mostly in their you know, what is it, alt mode, because like their robot form was just, you know, I might as well just have a picture of Optimus Prime, because it just didn't do anything. It just kind of stood there. It's, you know, it's had the articulation of original Star Wars figures, where the arms just kind of go up and down, and there's nothing going on there. So,
well, it's I found like I used my imagination more with them, but like I knew they were blocky and weird, but there's something timeless about them as a kid. Like I just thought, like, because they're a little ahead of my time, G1, because like, you know, the movie came out in '86. I was born in '86, so I kind of missed out on the figures right away as a kid, and my family was a little too poor at the beginning for Transformers, because they were expensive back in the day. But I always like them, and they're always thought like which one is which one from the show. And
yeah for sure. I'm like, having them stand beside the newer figures, it's, you know, they're gonna stick out like a sore thumb, right? So it's like I don't know, it's just my aesthetic, I think that's the problem.
You have to like be like really into G1 or G2, like I am. Like like it more, the older stuff, for some reason. I don't know what it is. Like the more obscure, like European G2 like stuff that I've seen, I'm just like, you know, it's like $800 for a block, and I'm just like gushing over it. My mind over it, but.
No, of course. I mean, that's the collector's curse, right? It's like, if this is the kind of thing that you like, then, you know, this is going to drive you absolutely, like, you're just going to feel like, oh my God, this is the best thing I've ever seen in my life. Yeah. For me, I'm like, I just like Astro Train because, we were talking about it yesterday. It's just the silliest, like, Transformer, like, ever. Like, why is it a space shuttle and a steam locomotive? Like, what? It doesn't make it. None of it makes sense. Like, one or the other, but both.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Like, I just, the double changer was a thing. You know, they had Blitzwing, who turned into a tank and a plane.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I get it. I think like in the show he went undercover as a train. I don't
I'm still not like undercover as a train. Well, okay, I guess whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, for sure. It's a more of a lame one. I can see why, but I could see like Spaceship for sure, especially in the 80s, because it was just whatever. But the thing I did like as a kid, like I said the other day, I did like how he'd run in robot mode, turn into a train to get speed, and then fly off as a rocket ship. And as a kid, I thought that was ingenious, actually, for some reason, because it was the old-timey to the new, you know?
Yeah. No, I know. It was just completely inexplicable. Even as a child, I was like, well, I don't know what's going on here, but it's great.
Great. Gave him this like type of characteristic where you're just like, he needs to turn into a choo-choo train before it takes off or whatever.
Right. Yeah. But that's part of its charm. So, I mean, that's what I wanted. If it was some of the other, you know, G1 reissue or whatever, I could care less, because again, their articulation on them is it's the worst. But like Astro Train, give me that.
Yeah, the Soundwave too, I was impressed with. It's really good, but
I'd love to have the Soundwave as well, but like, you know, I see so many Chinese knockoff Soundwaves that look way better, and
I get it.
I'm just like, you know, what I'm gonna spend $100, or am I just gonna spend $30? You know, I'll take the $30 one.
Yeah, no. I'm just happy they're releasing these, though. Like, we're getting more G1 stuff, because I love it. I'm just happy to see it in the store. Like, it takes me back. Like, I missed out on it not being born, not being, like, you know, not having enough money or something, and now I can just see it and buy two if I want, you know?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, they're taking advantage of the fact that there's history to the toy line. So, you know, they release something in original packaging. Somebody who's, like, my age is like, holy, you know, like, this is exactly what I saw when I was a kid. I had this when I was a kid or something. So you're going to buy it. Like they're aiming the toys like this at people who are older, who want to have it again. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's not that, you know, kiddie line
or
where
missed out like when they were kids.
Yeah, exactly. Like now you're grown up and you can afford it, and it's like you can get basically the exactly the same thing that you never got at Christmas in 1987, and you can buy for yourself. And it's they're pandering to the right crowds. Like that's the thing. Like I mean, for you,
they're killing it right now. Yeah, Transformers.
Exactly. I mean, I came into it late. And, you know, I'm kind of annoyed because there's a bunch that I wish I could have got. But the fact that, you know, there's a whole bunch of new stuff coming out that, you know, I'm lucky to be here now picking it up. So it's nice to come into this, like, knowing that I'll be able to buy all this stuff and not miss out on it.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like, it looks awesome. Have you seen the new Siege Astro Train? Because I just picked that up recently. I haven't opened it yet.
Yeah, no, I saw that as well. And, I mean, those Siege figures aren't really, you know...
Too liney, hey?
Yeah, they're really... It's not the best. Like, for me, it's... They just look... Like, they just spent too much time thinking, you know, how do we make this look way cooler? Or, like, let's put way more detail into it than is absolutely necessary. And it's, you know, I want clean lines. I don't want, like, all that, like, you know, fine filigree, like, lines all over it. Because it never looked like that. Like, I never imagined it looking like that. Mm-hmm. So it's like... all of a sudden they're like, no, this is better, you know, it looks really detailed. I'm like, yeah, it never looked detailed. Like, look at the cartoon. It barely looked like a train. So, don't make me, you know, it's cool and I'd buy it if it was cheaper, but
it looks cool enough. Like, I know, I think the biggest flaw in this line, because the transformations are good, the plastic is decent enough, it's just that they're too many lines, like too detailed, right?
Yeah.
And it's just it kind of, it's like, oh, that kind of sucks, because otherwise they would have had a big hit out of the park with these guys.
Yeah. And I mean, it's not necessary to make, like, nobody's asking them to make it look more detailed. And that silver bloody dry brush paint effect on those figures is just, I won't buy any of them. I don't want that. It looks silly. Like, it's just, it looks cheap. It looks like someone did that themselves at home. It doesn't make the figure any better. Like, I mean, I understand what they're going for, but I don't like it.
Totally. Yeah, no, it's the biggest miss. I like collecting the Siege stuff because I do like some of it, but yeah, at the end of the day, the lines on it, it just, I think it hurts it more than does better. Like, it's simpler, blockier look is what, you know, it should have been.
Yeah, that's what I'm going for. Like, that's what I want to see is my imagination doesn't need to be augmented by their design choices. Like, you know, it's like, if I wanted them to, I just want those simple lines. That's all I want.
Totally. Yeah. I want it simpler and yeah, that's about it too. It'd be better for sure. But I am so stoked on the G1 Astro Train hitting the Walmart soon. Yeah. That's so good.
Can't wait.
Right? Well, with the turn of a new decade, it's, you know, new consoles are supposed to be coming out next year. You know, they've only shown the dev kit for the PS4, but we got an official release for the Xbox Series X, the new Xbox, you know, release date, quarter 2020, fourth quarter 2020.
Yeah.
Microsoft.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited. I've always been a big Xbox, like, supporter, you know. I'm not one of those people who, you know, picks a side. I, you know, each console, PS, PlayStation, and Xbox, they both provide a different service, and I'm happily buying into both sides. I don't really care.
Totally. No, I'm like, this generation Xbox dropped the ball. Like, they really did. Their controllers were junk, and they just had no actual good of their own games, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think so. Like, Forza, sure, that was fine, but it's like, I wanted more. Like, 360 had, like, even some weird anime games on it. Like, I think 360 kind of handled things a little better, for sure.
Yeah, but as the Xbox One went on, like, giving people that backwards compatibility to 360 games, I mean...
That's good. That's for the people.
Yeah, no, exactly. And the library is actually huge. Like, every time I go to a thrift store and I see a 360 game and I think, oh, should I buy this or not? I always check to see if it's backwards compatible, and 90% of the time it is.
So, yeah, I like that. Really, yeah.
You know, they're letting us play old stuff, which is kind of nice.
No, yeah, I think they're more for the people in that way. I like that part of them. And like I said, I loved 360. I wanted to love the Xbox One, but I just think, like, you know, not having Spider... If they had Spider-Man at least on there, it's just, you know... I like the Uncharted series and stuff. I don't know, but... It's just single-player games. I don't even like a lot of single-player games, campaign stuff, but the stuff they did have did outweigh, I think.
Yeah,
but the Halo sucked, too. Halo 5 was a huge disappointment.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll get to that eventually.
I'm a Halo fan, and I just thought, wow, they dropped the ball, you know?
Right. I mean, this is the reason why picking a side is ridiculous, because you can't... What Xbox gives you that PlayStation doesn't, then PlayStation will give you something that Xbox doesn't. So
yeah,
why, yeah. You know, I never understood the fanboy anger from one to the other, because they are both doing the same job. Like, it's different console. It looks different, but it's doing exactly the same thing. So, I mean, sure, people can whine about having to spend twice as much money to get both consoles. Having stuff is cool. So, you know, like, I like having a PS4 and an Xbox One. I think it's neat. So, you know, because I like gadgets. So to be able to buy one of each and open them and set them up and play with them, and they're both different, I like it. You know, that's how the world works, is that, you know, you take advantage of the differences in things. You don't, like, there's no point in whining about it. And that's the thing, like, when that Xbox Series X picture of the thing came out, all I heard was just people whining about what it looked like. It doesn't matter what it looks like. Like, it's, you're going to plug it in, you're going to play it. All you're doing, the only time you're looking at it is when you're reaching over to hit the power button on it. So it doesn't matter. I think it looks great. I think it's amazing.
Yeah, no, I like the look. I was like, whatever. I don't mind the look. And yeah, I just think, I don't understand, like, too much. Like, I do prefer, I wish Xbox was stronger, because I think I do prefer Xbox. It's just PS4, but I wouldn't really pick a side. I have two consoles. They're side by side. So, you know what I mean?
One you can play Halo on, and one you can play Uncharted on. Yeah. And it's not a big deal. Like, no. It's, you know, if you could get all the same games on both consoles, there wouldn't be two companies. So
yeah, no, I like the competition and the different games, for sure. Like, having both, it's to get into can be expensive at the beginning, but once you do get both, it's a lot of fun.
Exactly. And I mean, it's part of gaming. You just, you know, I have a PC as well that I play games on, so that's three consoles that I'm using, like, at the same time, and I'm not complaining that one thing's not released on the other thing. And, you know, if I've got to play something on my Xbox and not my PlayStation, that's fine. That's life. That's how it works.
Yeah, so. No, I love in that world premiere they did for it, when it's like coming out of the ocean or whatever. I love how there's, like, a Halo ring above it. Did you get that? Like, get it? Halo? Like, it's a ring, like, that's, like, doing something to the ground or whatever, but it's, like, a Halo ring. It's, like, I just feel like they're getting at that. Like, you know, we're going to bring you a good Halo game again, right? So.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I mean, that's one of their selling points. It's like, oh, yeah, Halo Infinite or whatever. Like, sure, yeah. And, you know, when they're saying, like, this is, like, it's the potentially having, like, 8K, like, resolution and stuff like that. Like, I can't even, my brain cannot even fathom what that is. Like,
yeah.
It's like they might as well just, you know, plug the console into the back of your brain at that point, because how immersive is 8K resolution? I have no idea. It's just going to be insane. Yeah, it's
probably more in depth than even real life, I'd say.
Yeah, no, for sure.
More pixels in life. But yeah, I just thought it was awesome. Like, they show Master Chief for Halo 2, which everyone wants. Like, it's like, we don't want to play as these other people. We want to play as Master Chief, and don't make him stupid, you know? Like, don't make him, like, old-timey. Like, he's Master Chief. Like, are you kidding? Like, don't do what... Like, if anyone learns from what happened with Star Wars and Luke, I mean, don't destroy your main character.
Yeah, no, but, exactly. Go with what people want. Like, especially in a Halo game.
Exactly.
Why do people play that game? They don't play it to play as, like, the Arbiter.
No, it's like Mario or whatever. Like, you play it for Mario, you play it for Halo, Master Chief, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, no, I'm just stoked. Like, I know lots of people say don't buy these things day one because they can blow up and stuff, like literally blow up on fire and stuff. Mm-hmm. But just, I always unplug my new consoles. At first, just so I leave. But I'm stoked. I like the shape. I like the look. I like the direction that they're going. I just don't. Once again, I don't like the name. Like, I wish it was Xbox 720 or something, like just something, not XXX series or whatever. Like, as I know, they're gonna do like an S series probably, or a, you know, it's just confusing kind of. But
well, I mean, this is the thing. Like, it seems so powerful that, like, I have no... Like, how can they make... you know how there's Xbox One X and Xbox One S, and there's one's more powerful than the other, but this thing's so powerful at release. Like, I don't understand. They couldn't possibly make an upgrade to this in a year and be like, oh, no, this one's even better. What is it, 16K resolution?
Yeah,
like,
I'm
at
not
that
sure.
point, forget it. Like,
yeah, I'm not sure what they're doing. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean... Yeah. And I'm cringing at the concept of how much this is going to cost when it comes out in Canada. Like, I'm thinking $6 at least. Like, it's...
I heard something like they'll be around, like, it's just like if those tariffs go in or not or something. Everyone's waiting on that. That's a big depender, apparently. Otherwise, it might be like just $4.99. But if those tariffs go in, yeah, it could go up. So.
Well, I mean, if it was $4.99, then I'd have no qualms whatsoever about buying it day one. I mean, you know, not at all. And I mean, I like how they didn't, like, they tweaked the controller, but they didn't mess with it because, I mean, the Xbox One controller to me is it's almost a perfect controller. So
I love it. I love the 360 controller. So
For at the time, like, all of the Xbox controllers from the original one, not the Big Duke one, but like the original, like the upgrade from the original one, the 360 and the Xbox One controller, they are all like literally the perfect controller to me. Like, PS4 controller is a little bit hinky, and it feels good in the hand, but I don't like the side-by-side thumbsticks. So, like, you know, I like the offset thumbstick. So the 360 controller is just, and the Xbox One controller is just absolutely perfect.
It's just the build. Like, the Xbox One controllers, like, right out of the box, they're just a bit cheaper. Like, 360 controllers, like, you could throw them against a wall. They last forever, but the new ones, they feel good in your hands, but they just fall apart.
And I mean, the thing is with the new ones, the price is all, like, the price, you can always get a new one, like, for cheap anyway. So, like, once you screw up the little micro USB connector, it's going to happen. So you just buy another one, you know what I mean? And that's kind of cool. It's built-in redundancy because, you know, like, you don't feel bad. You don't have to go to the store and be like, oh, they're $80. They're never, you even buy them for $50 continuously. They're always on sale for 50 or less. I see them. So,
always,
I mean, I got no problem with that.
For sure.
You drop $500 on the console or whatever. If your controller screws up, you've obviously got the money to buy another one, so just go get another one.
I know, it is a weird console in a way, but I'm stoked on it for some reason. I'm excited.
Oh yeah, I mean, like, I'm just imagining buying it and bringing it home and, you know, having to spend another $500 on a 4K TV because I don't have one yet. It's going to be great to spend $1,000 to play this game.
Yeah, even more. It could even be more. Yeah, you don't know, but
no,
like, we don't know, right? Like, yeah. And who knows, like, am I going to buy a... That's why I'm going to wait, though, to get the TV, because I'd rather buy a TV-ish when this comes out, so I have, like, yeah, you know, the most modern-ish TV. Like, it doesn't have to be the best TV, but just something within the time of this coming out, I guess.
Oh, yeah, so... Well,
just to match it a little.
Yeah, you'll get the whole experience. You'll have the brand-new 4K console that's pushing out 4K at, like, 60 frames a second, and then a brand-new TV. So you'll be able to actually see this 4K, like, this console, you'll see it in its, like, full glory, because you won't have experienced 4K gaming up to that point, and you won't really have, you know... You won't have had a 4K TV. You'll never have seen this. So to have it all at once happen, it'll just be spectacular. Like, it'll be absolutely spectacular.
Yeah, no, I'm excited to see that happen.
Yeah.
I am. It'd be so cool. Like, it's just, yeah, and it just, yeah, we'll see the price. And yeah, I don't know. Like, as long as they bring out Forza and a new Halo right away, I think that'll be good. And they made lots of connections, I heard, with other companies trying to bring in more and more different types of games. So that sounds good.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. I mean, Halo has to be a launch title. They'd be absolutely stupid to not put Halo out as a launch title, because that will be the selling of the console right there.
I know.
We'll just be losing it.
Yeah. Like, oh, I know. They'd be like, so addicted.
For sure. I mean, for me, Fable 4, that's what I want to see. I'm a huge Fable mark. So, I mean, like... Fable 4 on this in 4K, like, in... Gimme. That's all.
Is the Fable series still around, though? Or?
Well, the company folded, but the IP still belongs to Xbox. So,
oh,
I mean,
cool.
So they apparently it's in the works. Like, apparently, like I heard 6 months ago, 8 months ago, that there's Fable 4 happening, but it's, you know. But it's gonna take a while. But that's what all I need to see is a logo. You know, it's like I'm that kind of Nintendo level gamer where it's like, just show me the logo and a date, and I'm in. I'm all in. Like you know, like with Nintendo, all they have to do is show, you know, an Animal Crossing pit logo, and everyone just goes haywire. Well, I'd be like that with Fable 4.
Yeah. No, I get that. Yeah. That's cool. I can't even remember other exclusives that they had that they've never brought back, actually, right now. I'm trying to think of
any. Yeah, no, me neither.
But I was trying to think of some. But, yeah, I just... Yeah, it'd be cool to see, like, how this all goes. Like, yeah, getting a 4K for the first time and just truly living the new gaming generation, you know, and the new decade, you know.
Exactly, exactly. Living in the times we live in, like... we're spoiled. We're just spoiled. Especially as a gamer, you're spoiled because they just want to pander to us. And, you know, this whole 4K and, you know, 60 frame a second and all that stuff. Like in the past, it's just a pipe dream. And now it's just reality. So it's happened so quickly, like literally in the last 5 years. So,
yeah, I know.
That's pretty cool.
I know. I hope they bring out that VR chat for
Oh yeah, I mean, come on.
We could shoot the podcast. I could be, you know, I could be Bulma right now. But yeah, no, interesting. But I think it's a new time, and like we'll see what happens with PS4. Like I also heard recently too that both these consoles, like if they don't bring out Halo right away, both consoles don't have like major hitters. Like I think Last of Us 2. That might even be pushed a little, so they're not going to have like the huge bangers at the beginning, which would be not good.
It would be silly. I would rather they like delay the release of the console so that so that they can package it with like the heavy hitter. Like you want PS5 with Last of Us 2. Mm-hmm. You want that. You don't want to get the PS5 and be like, oh yeah, well there's this and some crummy game where it's like, you know. Assassin's Creed that's also coming out on Xbox. You don't really, that's not the selling point. Like everyone wants Last of Us 2, everyone wants Halo Infinite, so like just have them come out together. This is what people want.
I always love the beginning of consoles.
Oh me too.
Okay.
I
Yeah, like, of course, they'll do a Gear 6, which is an exclusive, Forza, which is an exclusive.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, oh, for sure. I mean, you know, the console wars will still be around, and they'll still be the fanboys, you know, saying that one's better than the other. And, I mean, that's all fine, but, you know, I just ignore all that, and I play my games, and I enjoy each for what it's worth. And, you know, exclusives are exclusives for a reason, because companies need to make money. So if you buy in, you buy in 100%. Don't buy in half and just be like butthurt and complain that one's better than the other, because you can't have both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like, you like Crackdown as well, so.
Oh, I do like Crackdown.
New Crackdown.
I mean, like, yeah, that would be good, but I mean, like, I haven't played Crackdown 3 yet, so, and, you know, that got universally, you know.
Trashed.
Yeah. But, like, this is the thing, like, if I haven't played it yet, but I'm going to enjoy it just because it, for what it is. You know, if the controls work and the graphics are great and it's just a stupid run around shooting people game, I mean, that's what Crackdown is. What do you want?
Yeah. Do you think we'll ever see a Sunset Overdrive too?
I don't know.
Maybe. I mean,
I wouldn't put it past them.
No, I never really loved it too much. You know what I would love to see that I also remembered? I think it's this exclusive, but it's just maybe not as popular. I don't like to snowboard in real life, but I miss those Amped games, man. They were fun back in the day, like the snowboard Amped game. I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't play that. I was more an SSX guy.
Either something like that. For sure.
Like, those snowboarding games were just the bomb back in the day. Like,
yeah.
But, you know, it's just kind of like, yeah, there was an SSX that came out for the Xbox One, I think it was. It might have been on both, but it was like, it was good, but it's, I think everyone, you know, when you're looking through the nostalgia glasses again, you want SSX Tricky. You don't want SSX, like, you know, Snowboarding Sim, where you have to...
No, that's what I liked about Amped. Just enough, like, not, like, realistic, but it was also, like, you know, kind of arcadey.
Yeah, that's what you want, you know. You want a bunch of numbers coming up on the screen when you're doing some crazy, you know, million flips and stuff like that before you land your trick. It's like, you want that. You don't just want, like, a little tally up in the corner that's like, oh, no, you're doing great, guys. You're doing totally great.
Yeah, no, for sure. And, like, we'll definitely, stay on these topics as they develop over the new year, as the podcast goes on. We'll talk about, PS5 when we hear more. We'll talk about more leaks or whatever happens with the Xbox One. I'm interested. I want to ride this one out and be in it, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm invested.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I heard you can actually put it sideways, too. So if you don't want to keep it standing up like a tower, you don't have to. So.
Yeah, I kind of figured that.
Yeah.
But I mean, when you present something that looks like that, you're going to put it vertically. Putting it horizontally, it just looks like, you know, it could be anything. Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, no, but I'm interested. Like I said, we'll keep up with it as things develop in the new year, hey?
Yes.
Well, yeah, I guess we're going to be talking about now about The Mandalorian. Now, this isn't a VHS of memories, obviously, but it is a review of, a show that we've watched the whole season, actually. We'll just be talking about it as a whole. And, so there will be spoilers, so if you haven't seen all of it, who cares and listen to the podcast. we'll be getting into it. And, yeah, spoiler heavy, just to let everyone know. So, yeah, 8.9. Out of 10 on IMDb, 94% on Rotten Tomatoes. How did you feel about The Mandalorian?
Well, I mean, like, I'm not the target audience for this kind of show because I'm not a huge Star Wars nerd, but I have to admit, the show was really good. Like, it has all the elements of Star Wars in it without actually being Star Wars. So, you know, the dialogue isn't cringy. The way that it's directed and, you know, the way that it's edited together isn't really Star Wars-y at all. So, you know, you don't have to know every single bit of lore in Star Wars to appreciate what's going on in this. So I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really well done.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. Just on the like the look of it, the aesthetic of it, I'd have to say it hit the mark completely, even better. The thing about Star Wars is what we used to think, it's like, oh, the more money they have, the better the movie's gonna be. But it's like, no. It's like almost scale it back and it works more. Like it's like a New Hope almost. Like it feels gritty like that, like just like shot by shot, real set pieces, you know?
Exactly. That's the thing. And I mean, like, the dialogue is tight. Like, there's not a lot of wasted yakking by people. Like, it really, you get the idea of what's happening. Like, well, I mean, it speaks volumes that, like, the main character, you never see his, well, I mean, you don't see his face at all.
Till
And
the
yet,
end.
until, well, yeah, for like a minute,
Yeah,
but like,
second.
still, you don't, like,
Last episode, I think, right?
yeah, the last episode. But yet he can convey emotional response just by head tilt, by body language. Like
And yeah, but no, nothing. Like, even RoboCop, I love RoboCop, and you see his mouth. That actually does a lot, but this guy still pulls it off with no mouth.
Nothing at
Perfect.
all. Exactly. Like, and you know exactly what's going on in his mind based on how he's reacting to things. It's like you don't need to write dialogue for that. He doesn't need to say, I'm angry or I'm concerned or whatever when you can just tell. It was really, really, it's very well done, very low key. And that's exactly the kind of thing that I like. You know, I like the slow burn. I don't like. Continuous action always annoys me because it's like it just pandering to people with no attention span, and it's like this is it was really good. I really enjoyed it. The story was good. It had everything that it needed to do. Like, it even had episodes that you think are throwaway episodes in the beginning, and yet they get called back later on, so that even the throwaway episodes were important. So
Yeah,
it's
no.
really good. It's really good.
What would you say how could you sum up what the show is about, though? Like, is it about the adventure of Baby Yoda?
No. Well, I mean, I mean, what is it about? It's about like, I mean, the guy.
A lone gunfighter,
Well,
spaghetti western style. I know everyone makes those comparisons, but.
he has a. He thinks he knows what his job is, and then he's presented with something that kind of it pushes his emotional he gains an emotional reaction to doing something that he shouldn't have an emotional reaction about. So he has to change his entire nature in order to proceed, and like everything that he does is kind of foreign to him. Because he's gone against what he's done up till that point to save the child, right?
The
And
child being the Baby
you know,
Yoda.
yeah, exactly. So I mean, like, it's
He's
kind of
indebted to that child because the child saves his life, right? So,
exactly.
and it's
And I
about
mean,
honor, his cult or what it called, whatever they call it, clan. I don't even know what they call it.
yeah, and I mean, like, he has to make new choices.
Creed or
Yeah,
something.
exactly.
Yeah.
He has to make different choices than he's ever had to make before because now he's responsible for something else. He's become an outcast. Like, he's allowed himself to be an outcast because of he's changed how he feels. Like, his job isn't as easy and emotionless as he's used to it being, you know.
Yeah, just kind of like by the numbers usually.
Yeah, and he can't, you know. He wants to save the child,
Yeah,
so
the
you
thing
know.
about me is like the thing that works so much for me, and you don't see this in any type of media I find, like they don't play into it, and I think it's capitalizing on it a bit, is this like he's a t like even like I'm here this is women's opinions too. I've heard women say this, which is weird, but I like it for once, and it's like that he's like a strong, badass, cool dude, but he's also kind of like this caring dude too with the child, right? Like he
Yeah.
actually cares for this cute little baby. You know, I mean, you'd have to be a Ted Bundy not to like this little Yoda, but I mean, like, You know what I mean? Like, you'd have to be pretty, like, it's, like, if you, unhappy person not to like the Baby Yoda, even though if you don't want Force users in the show, and I know all that debate, but I think it is a cool to show, like, the tough, cool, charismatic, like, you know, kind of cowboy type guy, but he has the kid with him. Like, he's kind of, and they kind of relate, saying, like, you're the father of the kid now. Like, you have the imprint on the kid and stuff. And it's just very, I don't, for me, that I don't know why I like that angle. Like I said, I think it's a fresher angle we haven't seen, like, tough guy, but still cares about the little kid and stuff. Kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it totally is. And
it's like Kindergarten Cop or something.
Yeah. And I mean, like, for Star Wars, like, they didn't need to take this avenue to make a Star Wars show. You know, like, the proper Star Wars nerds don't want to see, like, this isn't the kind of thing they want to see. They want to see a million spaceship battles, lightsaber duels, cringy dialogue and you know, storylines about things that are basically eye roll worthy, but this is like a straightforward storyline that, you know, it doesn't even have to be like, it didn't have to be Star Wars. Like, you could make this a non-Star Wars thing. He didn't have to be a Mandalorian, and it would still be a great story. And it's good. You become invested in the character, even though you don't see his face. Even though he's just, you don't know this guy, but you feel like you understand him, and you feel like empathy with the guy, and it's just it's amazing how it worked out.
The way he like his acting, the real guy that's in there, like, just how he plays, like, his body language, he's like so into it. You can tell, like, he's just like, he's using like everything he can to like just communicate how the character feels, which is, I think, brilliant. Yeah,
it's absolutely brilliant. Absolutely.
And like the other things, like, they had Bill Burr in there. That was the bald guy. That was with that guy who had horns in one of the episode six one. And Bill Burr, he's from that like radio show that I love. That's how I found out about like James Angry Video Game Nerd, is through O&A. It was a podcast on Siri in America. And it was just like ruthless comedians, right, just going, saying the craziest stuff. And it was just cool to see that guy in there, because he has jokes about hating on Star Wars and just calling people geeks and nerds, and then he's in the show, right? Like, that's irony. That's great. That's classic. I just happy to see him in there, and he actually enjoyed it, he said, so that's cool.
Yeah, no, I didn't know about that until afterwards. Like, I didn't know who the guy was. And then of course, the internet, right? And then I'm like, oh, well, this is it. It's cool how it's like there are these,
Louis C.K., like, the seller crowd people, like, that's where he's from, that comedic crowd. So,
the show's as deep as you want to get into it. Like, if you're the Star Wars lore nerd, like, I looked online and it's like, here's 20 things about the Mandalorian that you didn't know or whatever. And there's all this like deep seated, like, Star Wars, like, lore and stuff in it. And if you don't know about it, this is the thing. Like, I don't know about any of that stuff, and I really don't care. And yet I really like the show. So
I think I'm one of the people that hit like 12 to 15 out of 20 usually on those. So it's like, I'm not like so into it, but I know like a basis of a lot of it. But
yeah, but I mean, like, it's like, oh, this is from the cartoon. And like, well, here's one guy who's not watching the Star Wars cartoon. So
I try. I've watched a few episodes of Clone Wars. I do think it's pretty good. It's just, it's hard for me to get through it all. Just because, I'd rather watch like Dragon Ball Z or something if I was watching a cartoon for some reason. But that's just me. But I could watch that all day, every day. But this is, like I said, I love the IG, because they have an IG droid in there. My favorite Star Wars droid finally gets some shine. Like, we've seen him as IG-88, but he's just standing there in the corner on Empire Strikes Back for 1 second. There's a glimpse of him, and I loved him for that. I would watch the whole movie for that 5 second pan of the robot. Yeah. Like, I was like, that's who I love, right? Like, I still love him. And then they get, give him IG-11 in this one, a same droid. But I just thought it was so funny. It was how do you say that guy's name playing him? Kiki. I always mess that up.
Yeah. No, I know. And when I saw that he was even involved, I was like, this is great, because everything that guy does is absolute gold. And I'm like, It was cool to see him involved, and it was like cool to see an actual character that you that never got fleshed out, like the IG robots. Right.
Yeah,
droids. Yeah. I mean, like
seeing them in action, how they move and twist and shoot, and like,
sure.
I mean, loved it. I was in heaven. I was like, hands down, I'm in love with this stuff now.
Yeah, exactly. And it panders to the person who ever wanted to see an IG unit walking around, right? Like,
yeah. And then they became like, the whatever, the nurse droid, and like, it was so cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no,
hated
exactly.
That he died. I know he had to die, but I just hated it.
Yeah, well, you got to drive the story forward, and you know.
When every droid just gets blown up, it's just...
That's right. Well, it's,
my luck. Just my luck. Another droid. I was dating him, and he just blew up on
me.
That's
right. Well, I mean, it's not you, it's him.
Yeah, poor guy. I must self-destruct now, Danny. I do not see living from this. But yeah, no, it's so cool. Like the Baby Yoda, we barely even mentioned that. The Baby Yoda, like I said, people have been begging for stuff at my store. I think they missed out on a huge Christmas opportunity with Baby Yoda.
Oh, because sure.
Yeah, everyone was asking for Baby Yoda. Everyone.
Yeah, and I mean, really, like, you know, it's a great part of the show, and it is the narrative thing that drives the show forward. Mm-hmm. But Baby Yoda doesn't do anything. Like, he just kind of, he does the little force thing with his hand a couple of times, but he doesn't do anything, yet he drives the entire plot of the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like when he steps into action, it means a lot, but usually he's just a little 50-year-old dumb baby Yoda species, you know? Hence the name, for people that don't know. It's not, the species isn't called Yoda, but it's never been a given official name, so people call it Baby Yoda, even though it's not Baby Yoda, because this is 50 or how many years? 5 years after the Return of the Jedi or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, 5 years or something, yeah. But still, yeah, very cool.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if they're going to keep producing, like, Star Wars spin-off TV shows, and they're going to be of this quality, then I'm in. But, mm-hmm. They talked about there's going to be, like, maybe an Obi-Wan series or mm-hmm. whatever. Mm-hmm. And I just picture those to be more, like, I if it's like this, if it's low-key, then that would be good. But I don't know. If it's going to be about a main character in the Star Wars universe, I just picture it just being, like, continuous action, like from one lightsaber battle to the next, and spaceships all over the place, and that's how I picture them doing that. But
like, I don't mind some, like, I do like Hugh McGregor or whatever as Obi-Wan, so if they keep it small and minimal and he's just actually doing some battles, I wouldn't mind that.
But yeah, no, I know, yeah, just keep the narrative like very concentrated on certain subjects. Don't make it so broad ranging. Like, that's always the thing with the Star Wars movies, is it's like they're convoluted, and I don't want a million like separate plots put together to add up to one massive space battle scene. Like, my tastes aren't like, I don't like that kind of thing. It's give me something to think about. Don't just give me eye candy.
No, and the old, like, the TIE fighter battles back in the day were sick. Like, in the original stuff, I like those. But when Luke's under pressure trying to shoot the thing and they're on him and stuff, that was intense. That was a scene. That wasn't just, like, 80 ships at once,
No. And it's not the main driving force in the movie. But, and it's, back then it was revolutionary. So you're seeing it and you're like, this is, especially if you were a kid, you were like, this is the coolest thing ever. But, we're adults now and we don't need to just be like, have a flashing light in our face and be told it's entertainment. So this is the thing. Like, if you're pandering to the lowest common denominator, sure, do that. But like the Mandalorian shows that you don't have to pander to everyone. You can pander to a limited group of people and still be a great show, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. And I have to say, Cara Dunn in the show, I can't remember her real name, Gina Caro or something.
Mm.
Yeah, I like that lady in the show, actually. I don't know why. What about her? It's like maybe her look is pretty kind of cool.
Yeah, no, it was.
She has a different look. She's like.
She's a tough looking broad.
Yeah, she is. Yeah, big jawline kind of, but she's like cute in some ways. Like, I don't know, she's cool. I think they have good chemistry. The cast is good chemistry. Even for with sure. The robot, like when they were all together, it was just like.
Yeah, no, I know. It was really good. Yeah, no, it was pretty good. I mean, the only cast choice that I find dubious is the buddy there from Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul. What's his face? The guy who was in the last episode there who had
the Mandalorian's Jedi sword or
it just seemed to be like, okay, well, you know, they could have picked anybody else. Like, it doesn't have to be somebody that you recognize who is like literally basically the person you know him as in Breaking Bad. Like, to have him in this, it just feels like,
oh yeah, that's why he doesn't, I don't give think about him because I never watched Breaking Bad.
Oh, I see. Yeah, as soon as I saw him, I'm like, oh
god. Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, but it's fine. I'm okay with it.
Yeah. No, yeah, he seems a little weird. But I think who did a great job is that guy with the old guy at the beginning, the Imperial old guy, who's like, when they're bringing the Yoda, he's like talking all slow and stuff. Like, that was great. That's the best acting I've seen in like a long time.
Yeah, no, I know. Like, that really, like, sinister. Yeah. That's like...
yeah.
That's the word for him, like just a sinister character, like perfect imperial, like just to the bone bad dude.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was really good.
Yeah, no, very. Yeah, the whole show overall, like I said, there's a couple episodes, especially that one where they like went to that place and there was like the AT-ST walking mm-hmm. around in the village. Mm-hmm. For some reason, like, it just looked too Lord of the Rings for me. I don't I watched Lord of the Rings, but I'm not a fan of anything pre-gun for some reason. I'm not really into it unless it's Roman or something. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, I'm like, it's hard to get into, like, mages and maces. Nothing against it. It's just never been my thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I know this is Space Wizards, but it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. No, I see what you're saying. I mean, you know, to all of a sudden be from a space show to a show about farming, you know, to a plot where it's about farming, it's I don't know. But even as a throwaway episode, it is important because it actually, you know, at the time I was like, oh, this is just a throwaway episode. And then you realize that it actually drives the plot forward, that like the characters introduced in there are they come back. So it's you don't realize that it's an important episode until the end. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's really good how it just encapsulates a good narrative throughout a limited amount of episodes too. I mean, like, you know, they could have easily been like, oh, we'll make this 24 episodes, you know, and just turn it into BS. But I mean, keeping a real tight storyline and a real like tight narrative made it way better.
Yeah. No, for sure. I'd have to agree. Like, just, yeah. Like I said, when they're all together at the end, too, the whole buddy feeling that Star Wars used to give you, I felt it. I was like, this is a Star Wars crew. And they're not your typical Star Wars crew, but this is a Star Wars feeling, like when you're watching the movie. But it's a new crew. It's a new type of generation.
Yeah. It's, you know, same universe, different people. It's doesn't all have to be about, you know, things that you know. It can present a new story in this universe without having to like rely on common Star Wars tropes to push it forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great set designs. even if some of it at times looked a little weird or cheap. Like, I'd say that blue guy in the first episode actually didn't fit in Star Wars for some reason. Right. I don't know what about that character, that race. Not I'm racist against these blue fish now. Don't put that on the internet. I mean, it's just like, I don't know, something about it didn't match up, I felt off on that character. Mm-hmm. It just was kind of too silly or something. I don't know, but I know there's other weird hammerhead guys and all that, but it was just seemed a little off. But maybe it was just the guy's acting, I'm not sure. But yeah, but I don't know. Besides that point, I didn't like that character right away just because it felt off. I love that command, like that general guy or whoever he was at the beginning with the clone people and stuff. That was cool. So much to look at. And like I said, it's a bit lower budget, but they still did a great job. Like, it's just, the shots that they do have, the ship flying or coming into a place actually does look pretty cool.
Yeah, no, it shows what can be done with a real low-key approach. I mean, there's a lot of scenes where it's just people standing there, and it's, you know, and there's no sets, you know, in mm-hmm. the desert, in, mm-hmm. you know, in the woods, and it doesn't matter that there's not some, you know, huge CG thing going on in the background, because the narrative of the show is based on really simple things, and you don't have to like pad it out with mm-hmm. a bunch of, you know, $1 billion special effects, because it's about what they're saying and what they're doing and their, you know, their behavior. So I mean, it's really good. It's a thing I never thought I'd see happen with Star Wars, in that I actually enjoyed it.
Yeah, and I think the last episode was filmed by that Kiki.
It was,
The scout troopers, like on the speeders, when they have the baby Yoda in that bag and they're talking, mm-hmm. the dialogue between them had to be some of the best dialogue in the whole series.
Exactly.
I was shocked at how good that scene was. I was like blown away. Like, I was like, what the... Is this Star Wars?
Exactly. Like, I mean, to humanize those characters... Mm. is something that they have never done, because they've never spent that much time with stormtroopers talking to each other.
Right.
So to see that, you're like, these guys are just dudes doing a job. Mm-hmm. Like, you never think that when you're watching Star Wars. You just think that they never present you with a situation where you can identify with these people. And then all of a sudden, you're given 5 minutes or more of dialogue between these two people, and you don't realize that there's men underneath those masks who have their own individual lives, who deal with things in their own individual way. They're completely different people. They're not like clones of each other.
No, if the Clone Wars are over.
they're just a couple of dudes talking, doing their job, and it was really good. Like,
The nostalgia of them being the scout trooper from Return of the Jedi too, just like went over for me. And I know that's like whatever, but like nostalgia bait, but whatever.
Yeah. It was like, I mean, you know, and I'm not a big Star Wars guy, but I really thought it was good. Like, it did what it needed to do. And that's, if I like it, if the target audience isn't me and I like it, then they've done something right.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that are like not into Star Wars that are liking it.
Yeah,
That like Star Wars that are liking it, and they're like more like hardcore, like casual fans, like, you know. And I think I'm a Star Wars purist or something. Like, I want Star Wars to be a certain way, and this is like a fresh take, and they're doing it like in a proper way. Actually making a Star, like, this reminds me of something that could have came out in the 90s, like that people wish came out like in the like 95 when Boba Fett and all that stuff was so popular. Exactly. And yeah, not having him be Boba Fett is cool, you know, because I know Boba Fett, there's a difference between if his dad's Jango Fett stole that armor and blah, blah, blah. He's not a real Mandalorian, as this guy is a real Mandalorian. Well, like, you know, he's adopted into it, right?
Right.
Yeah, not by blood, but he is a Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, you don't, it's another way that you can rely on the lore of Star Wars without having to actually bring characters in that are familiar to you. You know, you can skirt the periphery of Star Wars lore and still come up with a really good story, which is that's what I liked about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, was the best episode the last episode? Probably, hey?
Probably, but, you know, each individual, like, there weren't enough to choose from, so, I mean, mm-hmm. To cover it all as, like, a kind of umbrella theme, like, mm-hmm. I really think that, like, it's, every episode had its moments, so mm-hmm. that, you know, and each episode had really important plot-driven moments that, like, made each episode really good in a way, like,
yeah.
So, I mean, like, sure, the last episode was good, but, you know, they did, as with any last episode finale, they have to squeeze a whole bunch of stuff in to mm-hmm. make it make sense, mm-hmm. and that's, you know, that was the thing, like, I just, I don't like things being rushed, especially when they haven't been rushed up to that point, so,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
but it was good, all in all, I mean, you know,
yeah, but it was coming down to a moment, so it mm-hmm, was like
exactly, yeah.
It kind of was about to boil, so and like I just think it for me it was the best, like because I think they had the strongest writing for dialogue first of all, and then just having the whole crew together like that, having seeing the IG droid again fight,
right.
Having a lady actually like she busted out a whole bunch of emotions too, like she mm-hmm. actually did some acting in that last episode,
yeah,
she wasn't
for sure.
just like tough guy face or whatever, right?
No
tough lady, she was just like, yeah, she actually like broke down and there's some moments in there, and yeah
no it was really good,
but yeah, I think some people like are hating on the Baby Yoda online, but
well, you know, they need to really check their priorities, because who cares?
Mm-hmm.
It's a show.
If this was the way they, like, the only way they could bring in a Force user, I think it was properly done, because it's not an experienced Jedi, it's not a...
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, there's nobody talking about the Force and all that nonsense.
The Force.
Yeah, it's just nobody knows really what's going on. It's, you know, nobody knows who he is. Nobody can identify him as anything. Like, it's everyone's just as ignorant about Baby Yoda as, like, we are, kind of thing. We know more than the people on the screen.
Yeah. No, we do. We know a lot more. Yeah, that's what's interesting.
Yeah.
It's like, we just know so much more. Like, not a ton more, but it's just like, oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Like, they barely know about the Force and Jedis, apparently.
Exactly, yeah. No, they had no idea. Like, they didn't have a clue what was happening when he was doing stuff with his hand. Like, not a clue.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, when do you, like, yeah, obviously they'll be doing a season 2, but do you think it'll be, like, a long time from now? Or?
Well, I mean, they can easily, like, they can take their time in produce. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't have to come out by the end of 2020, you know, mm-hmm. for they can easily pad it out to make it better. But, you know, with all the other Star Wars stuff that apparently that they're doing, like, I don't picture it coming out quick, but mm-hmm. if they're smart within the next 10 months, hopefully there's another episode.
Yeah, no, for sure. I hope that guy...
Waititi is his last name.
Yeah. I hope that guy is involved. Like, I really do, because even if he's not doing that droid or another droid or whatever, but I just think what he brought to that, like, that showed, like... And there was other directors, too, that did really good, but wow.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, they pulled out the big guns here, and they struck gold, I think.
Totally. And I think someone was saying on Instagram or so at some part, they're saying something about in fall 2020, the next thing would be out. But
yeah, that's kind of what I figured, because, mm-hmm. you know, this was produced last year. So, I mean, like, if they're already in pre-production, then I can understand how by fall it'll be out. That's why I'm saying 10 months, right?
Mm-hmm. No, I'm interested. I'm interested to see, like, where it's going to go.
Yeah, me too.
But yeah, like I said, some of it, a couple episodes there, like, they did all tie together, but they did feel at the time, like, if they were dragging, or... I don't think every episode has to be one of those episodes that connect to an episode. Like, it's good to have those in there, and then have the other episodes that are just, like, the standalones, right?
Yeah, like, it's like I said, the ones that I thought were throwaway turned out not to be throwaway episodes at all, like, which was interesting because I didn't know how long the season was going to be when I was watching it. I had no idea until like six episodes in. I'm like, how long is this? Like, how long are they going to make this? And then when I realized it's like eight or whatever, was it eight or 10? What was it? I don't know how many episodes it was, but like
eight. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, with eight episodes, you can't actually have throwaway episodes. So like, they were all important. Like, you know, the one where they broke the guys out of the jail, or we were breaking them out of the jail ship. That was great. And it was all in one place. Like, basically, it all happened in one kind of, one set. And yet, and that's one of the ones where I'm like, oh, throwaway episode. And it also wasn't a throwaway episode. So it's, everything, like, fit together for me. Like, I was never bored watching it.
No, never bored. And like I said, yeah, I wish maybe some episodes, like, they're kind of scattered the times. So I wish they were a little longer, not just 30 minutes, like 45 each of them would have been cool. But
yeah, no, I know.
But yeah, that was a downer, just the length. And then some parts I was like, where is this going? But then it picked up again and it all came together. And yeah, this eight episode thing is better than the new trilogy, hands down. Like,
yeah, well, I mean, I haven't even seen the new trilogy all the way through. I've saw the first one. Two. I saw half the set of the second one before. I was like, yeah,
well, that just shows you
dumb.
I think this just answers the question, anyways. you can't even like take the time. You don't even want to watch it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, I know eventually I'll see them, but like right now I'm. Yeah, because those new movies, they just fall into that category of like, it's not set piece to set piece. It's just a continuous drive the plot forward with action scenes. There'll be cringy dialogue every once in a while, you know, to make you understand that there's some kind of relationship happening with these people, and then huge action scene. Like, my attention span doesn't need to be continuously hammered. I don't mind if something slows down. And the new Star Wars movies, it's just I'm not into that. Like, I'm just not into it.
No, not at all. And I have to say, I love, what's his name, for being in this, the guy Apollo from Rocky. Just to see him in Star Wars, he did a great job too. I'd say great. Yeah, his acting was amazing.
Yeah,
I love that he's in the world of Star Wars now.
Yeah, same
and I think
here.
He's going to be a part of it like more, right? Like he actually turned from a bad guy to a good guy. They had character arc, right? So
yeah, that's right.
He saw the magic from the baby Yoda, and he was just like, it's healed him, and he was just like, no way, like, and now I'm indebted. Like, he felt like that too.
Yeah, no kidding.
Strong men feeling indebted to the sweet baby Yoda.
That's right.
Very interesting take, but very cool. Very cool. Like I said, that some issues here and there, but overall, pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'm impressed.
Yeah, I'll be waiting for that season two. And yeah, we could always bring up other stuff like the toys or something down the road or anything about it. I still like to talk about some Star Wars stuff here and there. I'm not burnt out. I'm burnt out on like the new sagas, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and, you know, it'll probably be a while before I'm going to watch any of the new movies. So
exactly.
And I'm not buying any toys because that's a...
No, you don't need that, yeah.
No, I don't. I certainly don't. I had it when I was a kid. I'm not really... going to do it now.
No. It's not worth it.
No, probably not.
Transformers are where it's at. The quality's more and, yeah. It's a funner thing to collect, really. But
yeah.
Still interesting. And like I said, looking forward to season two. I'm stoked. I like The Mandalorian. I like all the characters. I love the IG-11. I love the Apollo Creed being in it. I'm shocked at how much I liked it. Right?
Yeah.
But yeah, awesome show. Wait for more. And yeah, I mean, that's basically a good chat on that.
You bet.
Well, that about wraps it up for this week's podcast. Thank you for everyone for watching the podcast. I'd like to bring back some Q&As and some specials like that. So, maybe we'll do that for next episode. Leave some comments, questions down below right now. And, for me or GrubGun or for both of us, ask us some questions and we'll get that going in the next podcast. Or the next podcast, whichever comes quick, but I'll figure that out on my own. But yeah, get your questions in. You'll be featured in the podcast. A little mini shout out for you. So, but yeah, thanks for listening. Hope you've enjoyed me and GrubGun. The Mandalorian was fun. Xbox, all this stuff. So much to come this year. 2020, bring in the new year. Big change. Bigger boobs. Oh, maybe by 2021, but still. I'm looking forward to a fantastic year. I'm looking forward to more energy, making more videos, making more podcasts, making more content all over the interweb. And yeah, having a blast with you. I thank you for the support. I thank you for the people coming over from GrubGun's channel and my guys going to his guys and his just mixing the community all up. And thank you so much. Smash a like on this one. That really helps us out. You have no idea. Even a dislike, it helps. Do whichever. Comment, that helps as well. We'll hear you down in the comments. Ask some questions for the next video. Take care of yourself. As always, this is your favorite Dolphin signing out on the Danny Dolphin D2 podcast, and I'll catch you on the next one, folks.